It would be to find somebody who has done what you want to do and learn from them. I mean, I'm a big fan of mentoring and yeah, just like learning from other people's mistakes. And I just think you can't do it alone. If you go into starting a business and you try to do it off your own steam, you're gonna burn out. You need to have people that can go on the journey with you, and that's mentors, but also your employees. You know, when you employ people, you want to empower them. You know, don't just, don't try to do it all alone, micromanage everyone. If you want to build something significant, then it happens through relationships. So you've got to focus on that. Otherwise, you know, you're never going to build anything significant.
Hey everyone, this is Devin Miller here with another episode of The Inventive Journey. I'm your host, Devin Miller, a serial entrepreneur that's grown several startups into 7- and 8-figure businesses, as well as a founder and CEO of Miller IP Law, where he helps startups and small businesses with their patents and trademarks. If you ever need help with yours, just go to strategymeeting.com, grab some time with us to chat, and we're always here to help. Now, today we've got another great guest on the podcast, Cody Thompson. And Cody started his journey in growing up in a small town. And he went off to college and got a graphics design degree. Also had a few friends that unfortunately committed suicide that got involved. He got involved with a youth program to help the youth while he was in college. And then after college, worked in full-time youth ministry. And then after that, took a different role at the church that they didn't have any money to pay him for, but he did it anyway. And then from there, to make money, freelance as a graphic designer, and didn't intend to necessarily do a big business or go into business, but that kept growing. And so started selling websites on a subscription basis, and then sold that business off in around 2023, and is now focused on the business that he's doing now. So without much as introduction, welcome on the podcast, Cody.
Thanks so much, Devin. Really appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Excited to have you on and looking forward to a great discussion. So I just gave a quick walkthrough to what I'm sure is a much longer journey. So why don't we rewind and unpack a little bit and tell us a little bit about how your journey got started growing up in a small town?
Yeah, for sure. As you said, unfortunately, as I was going through high school, I had a number of friends that committed suicide. And unfortunately, it's one of those things that, when it happens once in a school, it can tend to cause others to go down the same path. And so when I finished high school, I went straight back to working in the high school as an employee. So it was quite strange. I was only 18 and then was already working straight back in the high school. So I was only a few years older than the people that I was working with, but I started running leadership programs for young people. So they'd basically give me the kids that were really struggling at school, or maybe they had difficult situations in their home life. I would go watch their basketball games. I'd go to their football games. I'd take them to the gym, just basically hang out with them and try to, be there for them. And so that was kind of, how things all started for me. And then from there, as you said, I took on a volunteer role in a church, and I needed to be able to make some money. So I started freelancing as a graphic designer. It was just really to make some money until the church would be able to pay me. That's kind of what I thought was going
to
happen.
One question just in there, not to interject,
but yeah, go
not
ahead.
To interject nonetheless. You know, it's kind of like when you say not to interrupt, but then you go ahead and interrupt anyway. but so along this lines, we're walking through, because you started, kind of circled right back to working within the high school. And I think that's a great endeavor to help the youth. Where did the, because I think you went off to college and got a graphic design degree, and walk me through kind of how that fits in everywhere.
Yeah, so I was working part-time in the high schools, and then at least in my family, it was always an expectation that you went go to college. So I had to get something, and so I was studying graphic design as my degree of choice. But I mean, I was good at it, and I just kind of cruised through college just off natural talent. I always played around on Photoshop and graphic design. But my passion was what I was doing in the schools. So for about 3 years while I did my degree, I was running those programs in the school. And then what happened was the church that I was a part of, I became a Christian when I was 16. And then the church that I was a part of, they saw what I was doing and they're like, man, we need to fund this guy so that he can help more young people. And so then they offered me a job 3 days a week. I was working in schools and running programs on the weekends at the church. And so I did that through that period of college.
I gotcha. So now you did that. So hey, got to get something in college. I'm going to go and do something that I'm at least naturally good at or can pursue. So you did
Exactly.
that, kind of working within the church context and within the high school context as you're going through getting the degree. Now you come out of the getting the degree, and I think you or any kind of allude to that, but you went in, did the your youth ministry full time and worked with the church, but they weren't able to afford you or pay you, or kind of walk us through kind of where that
Yeah.
how that led to the next step.
So I was working, I ended up becoming the associate pastor of the church that I was going to. So I started out as the youth pastor, then I guess started working. When I finished the college degree, I got put on more hours basically at the church. And then I started running a lot of national programs. And so then I got, I guess promoted as the national youth director. So I was in charge of running national events for youth and also for the youth pastors. So my responsibility was helping train and equip other youth pastors to run their group, their youth ministries. And so that I became that. And then because of that promotion, I guess, they said to me that, hey, we want you to move your home base to one of the national directors' churches, because there were seven people on the national leadership team, and they're like, we want you to be in one of their churches so that you can have a direct connection with the national governance of the church. And so we got offered several different jobs. And of course, the one that we knew that we needed to take was the one that had no money to pay us. And so, but we just knew that it was where we needed to go. So we decided that we would turn down the other job offers and we would take the volunteer job, and I would make ends meet by using my skills as a graphic designer. And so I never intended it to turn into a business, but like within a 12-month period it just like exploded. And I had so much work that I needed to figure out what was next.
Now, just out of curiosity, because I mean, that's a great problem to have. Hey, this exploded and it's going better than I ever anticipated, especially when you're saying that wasn't going to be your main endeavor. How did you kind of go about getting that business, or what was the genesis or cause for it exploding in the sense, especially if it wasn't going to be what you were looking or what you were intending to do, or what the focus is going to be? Kind of how did you naturally build that out?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it, I mean, I honestly feel that when you live your life in a way that you're doing it for other people, then there's opportunities that just open up for you. And I feel like almost because I wasn't driving it all myself, I was sort of doing it for the right reasons. I feel like that was definitely part of the reason why people connected with me and wanted to work with me. But I started off just by knocking on doors. Literally, I printed business cards and I went old school, and I had like a list of all the businesses in my local town, and I just knocked on all their doors. And I said, hey, I'm Cody. This is what I do. I'm a graphic designer. Would it be okay if I email you my portfolio? And then if you ever have any need for graphic design, you can hit me up. And most people would be like, yeah, no worries, whatever. But then every now and again, you'd get someone who'd be like, actually, I need to do this poster design for this event that I'm running. And so I guess I got turned down 95% of the time, but 5% of the time people said yes. And then I ended up landing a really big client in town. There was a shopping mall that I heard was unhappy with their graphic designer. And I just happened to ring, I just, so I rang the number for the mall, and just like, one of those sliding door moments, the marketing manager happened to pick up the phone. Now, I've called them a million times after that, and never has the marketing manager answered the phone. It's always one of their reception team. But just this one day, the receptionists were all out for lunch, The marketing manager picks up the phone. Her name's Danielle. And I owe her so much because she gave me a shot when I was like, you know, 21-year-old with no large clients, no credibility from a business standpoint. And she gave me a shot. I sent her my portfolio, and then 5 minutes later she called me back. She gave me a poster design. I did a poster design, and then she just started sending me all their graphic design work, and eventually I was doing all the design work for the whole mall and all their promotions and everything. And so that was really what kickstarted everything, because once I landed that big client, I had credibility. And so then it was much easier to get gigs with other businesses once they knew I did all the stuff for the largest mall in town.
No, it makes perfect sense. Sounds like it was a great opportunity that you certainly are able to take advantage of and build it from there. So now you did that, you know, kind of did this as a, I'll say maybe the side hustle or second full-time job in order to support the youth ministry. Now, did you keep, as the business kept taking off and growing, did you kind of still continue to balance both, or did you focus on one or the other? Or kind of how did that evolve?
Yeah, it was challenging at the start because I felt bad about it sounds strange, but I felt bad about the success that the business was having because I moved there to take on a specific role in the church. And thankfully, the pastors that were there, Brad and Kim, were like really supportive, and they helped me to see that, you know, there was opportunities in what I was doing to make an impact in people's lives. It wasn't necessarily where I thought that I would be making an impact, but it was different. And so my role at the church changed over time. I stopped managing groups of people as much. So I wasn't like the person who was running a lot of the things. Instead, I was on the board of the church. I was still one of the pastors there, and I would do like more keynote speaking, but less of the day-to-day management of stuff. And so that allowed me to kind of like maintain making an impact and serving in the local church, but be able to focus my attention during the week on the business as it was growing. Because basically I went from doing zero to like 110K in the first year. And then we basically doubled every year. So there was a lot of kind of pressure of me trying to grow as a leader to keep up with the growth of the business. Like it was like 110K, then 270K, and then 500,000. Then we did $1 million. And then it just, after we got past a million, the growth slowed a little bit. I think we did like 1.6 or 1.8 the next year, but it was challenging to go through those growth stages. And so thankfully the pastors that I had were very supportive and helped me to keep a good perspective on what was happening in my life at the time.
Oh, that's awesome. So now you did that, kind of walked through, because it was over a period of time, eventually ended up, you know, selling to another business or otherwise getting bought out or going a different direction. So walk us through a little bit as to how long that business was in play and then kind of what was that next phase?
Yeah. So from the first time I started designing, so it was 9 years that we were building the business. So it started out as a graphic design agency. I got it up to about $500,000 a year in revenue as a designer. And basically it was just, I was the main revenue generator and I basically outsourced everything else. So I was making an hourly rate when I was designing, probably not dissimilar to what you've experienced in the law field, you know, and so I just kept increasing my prices and people wanted to work with me. And then everything that wasn't design, I got other people to do. So I was able to get the business up to about 500,000 with just me and a couple of staff in the Philippines. Managing my calendar and, you know, doing basic graphic design tasks and stuff, but I was the main designer. But once I got to that point, I realized that this model was pretty crappy because it was always going to be my time that I was selling. And so I decided to, I built a website for a CrossFit gym, and then other CrossFit gyms started to ask me if they could have a similar website. And I came up with this idea of selling websites for $300 and then charging a monthly fee for them to use the website. And it was a bit daunting at the beginning because I was selling websites for 15 grand before that. So selling cheap websites seemed like a bit of a step backwards, but I ended up selling like 200 of those websites in the next 12 months. And that's what took us from 500,000 to over $1 million. and it built basically a recurring revenue business. So I was able to move my business from a time for money model to a recurring revenue model. And then over the next, so that's probably say three years in, over the next say 5 or 6 years, we scaled that business up to 3 million. And we ended up building a large team in the Philippines, built our own building in the Philippines. We had about 80 staff there that was managing the back end of that business, and then a small team in Australia. So that's kind of the journey of that particular business. And in the last few years of running that business, I launched WorkPod, which was the business helping people to build teams in the Philippines. And it was outgrowing the Lightning Sites. So in the last 2 years of Lightning Sites, WorkPod outgrew Lightning Sites. And so I was running both companies at the same time. And that's why I decided that, hey, I can't run both of these and grow both of them, give them the attention that they need. So late last year, we brought in a new CEO. I sold the business to a US company, and they brought someone else in. And so that's sort of how that all happened.
So now, makes perfect sense, and thank you for the walkthrough. Now, within all of this, the original genesis was, hey, I want to support myself for doing youth ministry. So is this kind of all on there? And I know it sounds like you took on different roles and kind of different focuses. So, you know, you did this, I think when we talked a little bit before, sold off the other business around 2023. So kind of walk us through, where is the current business at with the, you know, with the what you're doing now, focus on, and is a youth ministry, you know, on pause, or is it still a main focus, or is it kind of that's your next phase, or kind of walk us through kind of where things have evolved at to now today?
Yeah, so the church stuff is still a big part of what I do. I'm still a big part of the local church that I'm a part of. I still do a lot of speaking, and in the church, I mentor a lot of like young leaders who are running youth ministries and stuff like that. But I'm not directly involved in running any programs. So I'm more involved from a leadership standpoint. And then the main business that I'm running nowadays is WorkPod, workpod.com, WIRKPOD. We basically help people build teams in the Philippines. So out of my experience of growing Lightning Sites, building a team of nearly 100 people there, getting my own office space, scaling that business, other clients started to ask me for help. Like, hey, how did you build an offshore team? How did you productize your business, stop selling time for money, and bring on a team to run the business? How did you exit the business? So people started to ask those types of questions. And at WorkPod, we help them to build teams overseas to lower their costs, to deliver, I guess, a higher rate of service at a lower cost by using offshore talent. We hire all different types of staff for people. Like, for example, for law firms, we hire paralegals to help them, you know, draft documents and things like that. Or for, video editing or marketing companies, we hire digital marketers or video editors. And we hire general assistants, like executive assistants, PAs, all different types of staff to help our clients to grow their businesses.
Oh, that's awesome. So it sounds like it continued to provide a good balance in life and also some great opportunities. So now, kind of as a follow-up to that, if you're just look out kind of now in this next 6 to 12 months as far as where things are headed or what the next steps are, kind of where do you see things going?
Well, our goal for WorkPod is to place 10,000 staff in the next 5 years. So we have a big heart to like impact the community there. We've placed 800 staff in the last 2 years. So our goal is just to do more of that. In the Philippines, they say if you employ someone full time, it actually provides financially for 20 Filipinos. So if we can place 10,000 staff, we're basically helping impact over 200,000 people. So that's our goal over the next 5 years. So place those with great US, UK, Australia, New Zealand companies. They're predominantly where our clients are. So place those people with great companies and make an impact that way.
Oh, sounds like it's a lot of exciting opportunities yet to come, and definitely will be fun to watch how it continues to evolve. So, well, now as we have kind of reached the present day of the journey and even looking a bit into the future, and time has already just flown by. I always like to wrap up each episode with the same two questions, so we're going to jump to those now. So the first question I always like to ask is, along your journey, what was the worst business decision you ever made, and what did you learn from it?
Wow. Worst business decision. I mean, there's been decisions I've made with staff over the years where there's been some quality staff where you may have mismanaged them or not understood what their needs were. So there's probably been plenty of times like that, but probably the biggest one that I can think of actually would be we had a server situation with Amazon once where we had a server that got discontinued by Amazon. We had 200 client websites on that server and they got deleted overnight. And we didn't have a system in the business for backing up sites that we were currently building. So we had a system in our business for backing up sites that were already live, like our clients' websites. So they were fine, but we had about 30 or 40 websites under construction. And we lost all those websites overnight with Amazon deciding to discontinue a server. And because we had a poor system, we probably lost like $200,000 worth of staffing time with that one mistake. So safe to say, we learned that we needed to have a backup system in place, not just for our clients' live websites, but also for the websites that were under construction. So that was a really challenge. That was probably the worst day of my business career, was the day I woke up and 200 websites had been deleted. That was a pretty crummy day.
Now, just out of, just because you hit on it, not that I typically do a follow-up question on that, but it's just interesting. So did you guys end up having to rebuild, reprogram, redo the sites from the ground up, or were you able to recover things to a degree, or kind of how did you go about addressing that problem?
Yeah, all of our live websites for our clients, thankfully we had backups of all those. So we were able to reboot those within a few hours. It probably took the day to reboot all the clients' websites, but the ones that were under construction were gone. We'd lost everything. So we had planning, all the planning we had done before we started building the websites. We still obviously had all of that, but we had to literally rebuild all those websites. I had to go back to all those customers and let them know what had happened. I was terrified that they were going to cancel their orders. If they all canceled their orders and asked for refunds, we would have been, I don't know if we would have had the cash flow to do that. But thankfully, because I was honest, I just told them exactly what had happened and asked if they could give us 6 weeks to get their site finished again. Thankfully, all of them, we didn't lose any of the clients. They thankfully were, generous enough to give us some extra time so we could rebuild their websites. So it did cost us a lot though in staffing time. We basically had to deploy all of our talent on those sites that we'd already built. We had to rebuild them again.
Well, certainly not a fun experience. I'm sure not a good ordeal, but that's all, I think that it does show that, you have that, those clients, if, a lot of times you want to just make up excuses, or you want to hide it, or you want to shield it because you're worried about how they're going to take it. And oftentimes, I think the lesson learned is you back things up. And I think that's across a lot of things. And it's always fun where you always think I need to back that up. And then right after something bad happens, then you put that system in place. But it's great that you were had clients who were understanding and gave you the bandwidth, even if it was a less than fun ordeal and probably cost a little bit along the way, that you're able to recover it. Or recover or continue on with those clients. Now, the second question I'd like to ask is, so now if you're talking to somebody that's just getting into a startup or a small business, what would be the one piece of advice you give them?
It would be to find somebody who has done what you want to do and learn from them. I'm a big fan of mentoring and just like learning from other people's mistakes. And I just think you can't do it alone. If you go into starting a business and you try to do it off your own steam, you're gonna burn out. You need to have people that can go on the journey with you, and that's mentors, but also your employees. When you employ people, you want to empower them. Don't try to do it all alone. Micromanage everyone. If you want to build something significant, then it happens through relationships. So you've got to focus on that. Otherwise, you're never going to build anything significant.
No, I think that's definitely a great piece of advice and a great takeaway. So Well, now as we do wrap up the episode, if people want to reach out to you, they want to be a customer, they want to be a client, they want to be an employee, they want to be an investor, they want to be your next best friend, any or all of the above, what's the best way to reach out to you, contact you, find out more?
I'd love to have some more best friends. You can find us at workpod.com, WRKPOD, workpod.com. There's heaps of information about what we do. And if there's anyone out there looking to build teams overseas, we'd love to help.
Awesome. Well, I definitely encourage people to reach out, support a great business, expand your network, and if nothing else, make a new best friend. So with that, Cody, thank you again for coming on the podcast. It's been fun. It's been a pleasure. Now, for all of you, the listeners are out there, if you have your own journey to share and you'd like to be a guest on the podcast, we'd love to have you. So just go to inventiveguest.com, apply to be on the show. A couple more things as listeners, make sure to click share, subscribe, leave us a review. It helps us to reach even more startups and small businesses to help them along their journey to success. And along that note, if along your journey you ever need help with patents or trademarks or anything else with your startup or your small business, just go to strategymeeting.com, grab some time with us to chat, and we're always here to help. Well, thank you again, Cody, for coming on the podcast, and wish the next leg of your journey even better than the last.
Thanks, buddy.